Welcome, welcome, welcome to the podcast. It's Mr. Ish. We're here at Kips Bay Boys and Girls Club Teen Night. Teen Nights are always special. We got some special guests today. We're doing a little video. We're doing a little audio. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a topic that we should all talk about. It's across the board. We know about it a little bit. So we're just going to gather some more information. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. Let them tell you where they're from. And we'll open the mics up. Please, introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Angela. I am the Bronx Youth Engagement Manager for New York City Smoke Free.
All right. I'm sorry. I got buttons here. I start putting little sound effects. I'll make sure you're doing good. Okay. Thank you for coming.
And I'm Marissa Smoke Free Nycha.
Okay. I got to give you some claps, too. I might have to give you one of these. All right. I want to make you feel special. Welcome, ladies. We did this one time, but without the cameras and all that stuff. It was very interesting, and I knew that you were waiting just to come back and just give these teenagers some more knowledge. So the floor's open, and we'll fill in with some questions. I'll chime in, you know, whenever I can, and let's get this podcast started.
All right, so let's get started. Just to recap, the last time we came, we did a GASO, which is the Great American Smokeout. We spoke about quitting smoking and how to support your friends in doing so. Today, we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to talk about what influences a person to smoke and just some general awareness about smoking, some facts, and, you know, just have an open conversation.
All right. I have a first question already. I grew up a little bit in the, you know, I'm a little older than these guys. So when I grew up, you know, I used to go to the store and actually buy packs of cigarettes for my mom. I'm not too happy about it now, but, you know, it was one of those things that, our parents smoked cigarettes and it was like kind of just across the board and we just, you know, oh, go buy me a pack of cigarettes. And it wasn't a big deal. So I was there when they changed that, you know, only 18-year-olds could go buy cigarettes and all that stuff. So that's where I'm coming from, you know, like from the beginning and stuff like that. So do you think that has changed now that they raised the age from, you know, from to like 18, what is it, 18 or 21 now? I don't even know because I don't smoke, so I couldn't tell you.
I think it definitely has changed. I know from my perspective, like you said, growing up and going to grab a pack for your parents, even the cigars like and the cigarettes that they had as like candy, the advertising has changed more so from cigarettes to vapes. It's kind of switched over, especially when it comes to advertising and the media and how they showcase these tobacco products.
Do they really engage more in, well, they don't do TV ads anymore. So is it more printed ads that they do in order to get their point across?
I think it's a mixture of the printed ads and I want to say social media. If you look now, there are a lot of people that actually use these products on a daily basis and they're showcasing it. And it's kind of like a glamorization of the products. And unfortunately, there are some youth that will look up to certain idols and people and see them smoking and think it's cool to do when it's really not.
I know that the only thing I've noticed is especially in the projects and NYCHA complexes and around that the advertising and the smoke shops have become almost like a candy store now. Mm-hmm. Before we used to be, oh, I'm going to the candy store, and now you're going to the smoke shop, and then if they don't have it, there's one right next door to it, and if they don't have it, you know, there's one down the block. So it seems like these things are coming up, especially now that they change a lot of these laws, they're coming up, and it's almost like a candy store. One of my daughters, and she's only 11, she's like, Daddy, could I get candy there? I was like, baby, that's not a candy store. But the colors, mm-hmm. the colors, the green, the vibrance, the character that's in the front, you know, she was just confused. She thought it was a candy store. So how do you think that affects the youth now, you know, knowing that these places are just like pop-ups all over the place, especially, you know, next to our projects or our tenements and stuff like that where we live at? Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much for that. I do agree, and I'm very passionate about getting promoting change as of right now. With NYCHA on NYCHA grounds, with the candy stores that you are mentioning, they are not supposed to have like smoke shops that says smoke shops nowhere on the grounds of New York City Housing Authority. So we are in looking to make sure that these pop-up shops or these, you know, these stores mm-hmm. that's on the grounds of NYCHA is not there. But I agree with you with the colors and the other items that could look very enticing.
So when you say the grounds, you obviously they can't be on the grounds of the projects.
Yes.
But if you're, let's say, on Second Avenue and the projects are to my right, right across the street, there's a bodega and there's a smoke shop. So how could something like that be more, how could we, you know, politically or just our neighbors, or how could we make sure that, you know, there's one right next to a school. I mean, it's literally right across mm-hmm. the street from a school. How could we avoid, or how could we protest on these things? Because that's the start. The kids are going to see this every day when they go to school. Mm-hmm. So that's a temptation that's right there. You know, they it's just lingering in their face. So, you know, some people are stronger than others, but it is right there in front of their face.
And you're absolutely right. And it takes the community. So as of right now, of with New York City Housing Authority Smoke Free, we are looking to find things such as this beautiful platform that I'm on right now to educate, communicate, and to get the youth very educated on things of, you know, like with these stores that's opening. So it takes our community. So what we're trying to do is actually start forums of communications well, that's nice. And get feedback.
Yeah, I think we have to start, like, obviously, organizations like this. I know, do you guys go to schools and also, you know, give the knowledge to schools and stuff like that?
Yes, so that's part of what I do, just going out in the community, going to schools, speaking to youth, and actually having what's called Reality Check, which is a program that we have after school. Where we do podcasts ourselves. We
oh, educate. You a podcaster. Okay.
Yeah. All right. We educate the schools. We have a lot of showcases that we do. As far as like community health fairs, we'll go to set up a table and the youth will speak from their perspective. But just bringing it back, I guess, to the education piece of what we do speak to elected officials about what we do, just to educate them. We don't lobby. I gotta put that in there.
Okay.
So there's no money involved, but there is education. We actually went up to LED on February 6th, which is Legislative Education Day, to speak to people in our communities, you know, just to get them to understand, like, the retail environment. Like you're saying, you're seeing a lot of these shops pop up, and the proximity to schools is kind of ridiculous, especially when you look in the Bronx. So we just inform them about what's going on in their communities and just help in seeing how we can be an influence for change, to take some of these shops away and just, you know, move them to different areas.
Yeah, I know we're talking about the Bronx, but I live in mm-hmm. Manhattan, and it's all over the hood too. It's just low income places. They know exactly who they're catering to. Mm-hmm. You understand? I don't see this on 76th Street and Fifth Avenue. I don't see that problem. I don't see it on 86 as much. But in Manhattan, if you go to, you know, past 99th Street, these places are coming up. They popping up like sneaker shops almost. I see a lot of these. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that store was there. In between the block and on the avenue and all that stuff. I mean, these kids are too young to know that, and I know that you probably know from your research, when they used to smoke packs of cigarettes before, the way they got to you is that you took off like the little label and you saved it. And you add them up and you get like a book bag, or you get a sleeping bag that said Marlboro or Camel or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people used to be like, yo, let me get that. And it was like almost like a collection, like you guys do Yu-Gi-Oh cards type of thing. And that's how they got kids hooked on these things. I'm glad that is out of the market, you know, but they're finding different ways to approach this, especially like you said, through the social media and stuff like that. I'm not really on TikTok and stuff like that, but I know that is definitely popping up as ads there because that's how they make their money.
Yes, definitely. There's always money involved. Like you said before, just to go back a little bit to, I guess, the proximity and the amount that we have in the Bronx, we are targeted differently than other areas when it comes to the amount of shops we have, even what they look like you said, there are a lot of lights, and for some reason I'm noticing a lot more characters. Like there are some that I've seen that have like a lot of Dragon Ball Z influence. You drive by, it looks like something that a child would be in. And unfortunately, like I said before, it kind of leads them to it and they're interested, but it's not for them.
Sometimes they you know, they also put like the bags of potato chips, like foreign bags of potato chips in the front. You'd be like, oh, I want to try a raspberry Kit Kat. And all of a sudden you go in, and when once they got you in the place, then you take a couple of steps more, and that's where you see the other items that they're really trying to sell. So they give you the colors, the characters in the front, the lights, and once they get you in, they really don't care that it's a 6, a 10, 12, a 21-year-old. They got you in there. Something attracted you, and you're going to start looking around, and that's their influence. That's how they got you. It's almost like a commercial. You know, when you're watching a TV commercial, and you're like, wow, I haven't had Kentucky Fried Chicken in a while, and all of a sudden you're hungry, that's the way they get you. Yeah. That's exactly the way they get you.
And I know right now they said that the average age of a new smoker is 13. So people are starting really young to smoke. And unfortunately, nicotine is addictive. So once you start, it's way harder to stop, especially once you start young. So like I said, it's a tactic almost to start so young and to advertise and show these cartoon characters and all the lights and make it seem like it's glamorous. But in reality, it's really not. As of late, I noticed, like you said, on TikTok, I have been seeing a lot of things, and I know somebody personally that was like addicted to vaping. Every time I saw him, he was blowing raspberry smoke in my face. Like, he was addicted to vaping. And just a few weeks ago, he just got out the hospital. They had to cut off part of his lung.
Because of that? Yeah. That's some serious business. And I think that the vaping is very dangerous because you don't know what's in these chemicals. You see the large amount of smoke that it makes, but it's just like so extreme. There has to be so many chemicals in there to make that happen. And obviously you get the cheap ones, the price. Oh, yeah, we're going to give you this for $2. We're like, oh, I'm buying that. And all of a sudden that could be, the worst one that you could get. That's also an issue. There's no rules. It's almost like the West here. We're in the wild, wild West, and all of them are winning, and the Indians are not. I can tell you that much. We always know that the Indians are always gonna fall. And it gets really, really crazy out there. I've found them before in the streets. Find a vape in the street, and you're like, what's this? And I'm like, don't touch that. It's hard. It's really hard to keep the kids away. So we have to find different ways to communicate with them. So this is a great way, to at least relate and give them some information. But we need to try everything. I'm a parent, so I'm willing to pay my dues also.
I know that in some of the schools that I actually go to and visit, they have vape detectors now in the bathroom, because during the day, kids are going there, leaving to go smoke in the bathroom. So it's a lot. Like, they collect a lot of vapes in the morning as they're walking through the metal detectors or whatever. They're picking up a lot of these vapes, and it's like, what do you even do with those? And I kind of had to backtrack and see, and you have to go to sanitation to actually dispose of them correctly, because if not, then that's a whole other thing about like pollution and waste. And
they also have batteries in it, and you don't know what kind of batteries these things could explode. So let's go there. You see all these bikes that explode and all that stuff. They make these things in China. They make these things in some small countries, and the battery or the quality of it, it's not good. You're putting that by your face. I'm sure that there's probably been accidents where these things have blown up in people's mouths or traveling or anything like that. So that's another thing you have to be aware of. The quality, it's not the best either. That's like buying a cheap car. So, you have to be aware of what you're getting into.
Definitely. Did you want to speak a little bit to NYCHA and just like the work that you've done with the proximity of people smoking in the buildings?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for that. So actually, I would like to also just tune in into what you were just saying about blowing up with the vapes and things of that nature. That's very important for our youth to be educated on these things, because it looks cool to do, but it's a very dangerous.
Yeah, you're carrying a firecracker in your pocket. You're carrying a firecracker in your pocket that you don't know when it's going to blow up.
And I agree with you. So it's very important that we actually educate the youth on this on this topic. That's why I would like to also talk about with the cigarette butts. You see the cigarette butts all around on the ground, and they are most littered items in New York City and U.S. and global. But throwing the cigarette butt on the ground after smoking is one of the most and last socially accepted forms of littering, and can be seen as a social norm. Just throwing on the floor.
You get a ticket for that? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure you can. Yeah. I don't know why a cop is gonna really, you know, stop you and be like, "Hey, guy, pick up your bud." You know, you got a bud on the floor. Somebody's gonna pick it up, but.
But the figures are straggling. 74% of smokers in the U.S. reported throwing out a cigarette butt on the ground at least once in their life. And I just would like to say also cigarette butts leach out toxic materials such as heavy metals and nicotine and eventually break down into microplastics, which can be harmful to the health of humans and animals in our environment.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I walk my dog, and that's where I'm always looking on the ground when I walk my dog because he's smelling, he's looking at things, and I'm like, yo, get away from that, get away from that. And, you know, cigarette butts, like you say, are probably, especially next to the parks or where you have benches, people just sit there and just, you know, I guess it's relaxing. They sit there and just smoke cigarettes. But, you know, they don't dispose of them correctly, and that's another issue. So we got issues with that causes health. We got issues. What about the whole thing about starting fires? I remember that people used to fall asleep with their cigarettes.
Yeah.
You know, when I was younger, my aunt, her sheets and her bed were all burnt up. And it always had little holes in it. I was like, what's going on, Titi? And she was like, I fell asleep. And I was like, oh, my God, you almost burned the mattress. Like, you could see the hole, you know, like burning through. And that's another danger. You know, you get so relaxed or you going to sleep and you're like, oh, let me smoke a cigarette. And all of a sudden you could cause somebody else or a whole complex to go down. And it's definitely been known of people, you know, burning after smoking cigarettes or the matches and stuff like that.
So yes, definitely in NYCHA, we did experience things of that nature as well. That's why it's very important to get educated. There are no smoking. There is a rule, 100% rule of NYCHA policy, that there is no smoking in any of the apartments or within 25 feet within the development. So this is a policy and it's the law that you are not to do these things. So actually we need our community to be educated and to proactively communicate. Like we have our whole team at NYCHA that handles the all five boroughs, even Manhattan.
Okay.
Because I know we're in the Bronx. Right. Exactly. So it's all five boroughs, and we are actually dedicated of communicating its policy, educate, and support. And if anyone wants to stop with secondhand smoke or, you know, just getting educated or wants to quit or cut back, that's what our team at Smoke Free NYCHA is. But with our youth, we just want you to be educated and understand how to get out of a situation if you are pressured, like, oh, this is cool, and you don't want to be part of it. We would just like to keep the youth educated on how to.
Well, I got a question because we talk about vaping, we talk about cigarettes, but there's a new trend now, and that's that whole hookah thing. And these guys, and they, I'm looking at them, but they're probably more familiar with the hookah. You know, that's kind of like we leave it out sometimes. But is that something that's also part of your reach out? Of what you guys are trying to do.
Yes, so definitely any form of tobacco use, whether it's like snuff, chewing tobacco, hookah, pens, vapes, whatever, you name it, we're there. Okay. We do educate on that as well because any type of smoke, any form of smoking is bad for your lungs, bad for your body overall. So we do educate on that. And I've noticed there are some trends culturally when it comes to who's smoking cigarettes, who's smoking vapes, and who's doing hookah.
Yeah.
So you definitely gotta shout out to different areas in the Bronx. I will say that there are a lot of hookah lounges. Unfortunately, it is dedicated to... I want to say certain people, and it's tough because that's how
Dominicans love the hookah.
I said it.
That's my people. Yeah. But also, my Puerto Ricans love it too. I ain't gonna lie to you. It's just a trend. I don't know if it's a Caribbean trend, it's a club trend. I don't know if it's videos or what it is, but you know, it's more common. Maybe in the Spanish neighborhoods or you know, the what we call the brown neighborhoods and stuff, because it's just like, it seems like, oh, I'm not smoking a cigarette, I'm doing this, but it's still bad for you. And I don't know if you guys realize, but your lungs are these organs that you can't really, there hasn't been too many good lung transplants, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
you know, my wife was diagnosed with cancer for her lung, and they had to remove one of them. And when they removed it, just the way of the breathing and all that stuff, it's a real thing. And I don't know if you know people that have asthma. Asthma's like, you know, it's basically like choking with no air. And that's another scary thing. So when you start thinking of that, if you're smoking 20 years, 40 years, when you get old and you can't really handle it, that's the way it's gonna affect you. It's gonna affect you in so many ways. Sometimes dental, sometimes with your throat, sometimes with your lungs, sometimes with skin. People's limbs are removed because of smoke. So it's something that it might look good in a picture for you to make a big cloud. I said, but that might cost you later on.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. You had mentioned asthma. Actually, the Bronx has the highest asthma rates in children. And obviously, you know, children shouldn't be smoking. They aren't smoking. Definitely. This is due to secondhand smoke. So people are with you. They smoking hookah. They blowing it in your face. Y'all taking pictures and a kikiing. But sometimes your body is more susceptible to illness than others. And they could be fine, but you end up having to go to the doctor and get checked out. And they tell you, like, hey, this is affecting your body. Then what? You know, it kind of leaves you in a messed up position. So
how I know they have patches. I know they have this chewing gum. I know they have all that stuff. Is that really effective in the process of trying to quit? Or could some people just go, you know, how they say it, cold turkey? My stepdad, he, as soon as my son was born, I told him, he's not coming upstairs if you smoke. He stopped that same day. He stopped that same day. And he was a smoker. He told me since he was like 12 or something like that. And he stopped as soon as my son was born. Cause he was like, that's my grandchild. Like, I'm not going to be around him. So he stopped. But, there's some people that don't have that willpower, you know, and the people that I can stop whenever I want. And it's not true. They need the help. So how do those gums or patches or any of that stuff, and even to get it, because sometimes people, like, they don't have insurance, and it should be something that's just given, almost like what we do for parenthood, you know, like Planned Parenthood, that we just give out these items. It should be just as easy for us to get these gums or a patch if necessary, or see somebody for that. So how could, you know, in case you were in that situation, how could we go about that?
That's a very good point that you brought out, is NRTs. And actually, that's with the nicotine replacement therapies. We actually do source out resources. So for me, that I'm in the Bronx, and my team in New York City Housing Authority, Smoke Free, we actually have access to many other entities to actually resource and to give the resources of where a person can actually go and get the help if they wanted the patches, the gums, and the other NRTs. And it could be for free of charge, but we always like to definitely refer to their doctors first, because the doctors is definitely the best person to communicate. But a lot of people in NYCHA is not really, you know, our residents don't really like to talk to, you know, their doctors about this.
Of course not.
So this is where our team fits in like a glove and a great fit to actually communicate, and no pressure. We never there to pressure anyone. It's, you know, we just talk to them, sensation, support. We actually give the resource if they are willing to
accept
quit
it.
Shut, to, you know, start the process. I'm here as a cheerleader. Let's go, NYCHA.
And it's good that you guys are starting this off while they're young. You understand? We understand that there's some people that are older, they gave into this and they don't want to quit, and I don't care no more, and whatever. But if we get them while they're young, we have a chance, and the chance is what we're looking for. You know, we can't save everyone. We know that. As leaders, as educators, we know that sometimes you're gonna lose somebody through the loops. We hope that it's not, but it's also realistic. I mean, so I know we can't help everybody, but we need to at least give the information out there so that we can help most of the people. You know, most of the people is what's important. So I definitely applaud you for what you guys do. It's very important. I know that sometimes you kids are bored and you don't like to hear us preach, but this is some real preaching that may help you or somebody in your family. So it may not even be you. It could be a way for you to contact and speak to your mom. Your mom, you know, we had this little class and I think that, you know, you should stop smoking, whatever. It could be your auntie. It could be a friend. It could be somebody that you know, just if you talk to them like normal, it should be a way to communicate. If you never communicate, you know that always the answer is going to be no. True. That's the only thing you know. If you don't say nothing, you're always going to have a no because, oh, I should have said that. Just say it. Just say it to somebody. Hey, I like the way you look today. You look pretty. That person's going to feel good about themselves. Right. Hey, you know what? You should stop smoking because it's not really going to be helpful for you. Maybe that sticks in someone's head. So, you know, that's important. If you're really a friend or you're really a family member, just tell them. That's what love is. Sometimes love is cruel. Sometimes you got to tell them some stuff love. That you don't want to tell them, but it is a tough love. Is there any other point that you guys want to talk about? I mean, you know, we're going on, but I'm entertained.
Yes, I would like to hear from the youth, of course, because I'm so passionate to hear. My youth, it is so important to hear from.
All right, let me set up this mic over here. Hold, give me 1 second.
Would like have, right to there, have sir. Any questions.
You got any question? Let me see how to talk to
Hello?
You.
Hello?
All right, we mic'd up. Mm-hmm. Please tell them your name, yeah. Your age again.
My name's Kaden.
But speaking to the mic, I'm gonna make sure they hear it.
Since weed is legal and like smoking's legal, does it encourage smoking to the youth?
Because usually, not that I understand bad what you say, Kaden.
It's not illegal.
I got you now. Let me clean it up.
It may not be.
Let me clean it up. So I know that usually people say smoking is a gateway to something else. Yes. Right? So he's trying to say the reverse part. Now that the other item is kind of legal. You know, it's still trending here and there. But do you think that now, because that's so open in the streets, that now they say, oh, cigarettes are nothing?
Yeah, essentially, hopefully you guys don't know, but we should all know at this point, people are mixing tobacco, Grabba, Fonto with weed to smoke.
That's essentially been forever.
Yeah. So essentially they go hand in hand. Like I said, unfortunately, no form of smoking is good. We don't really advocate or speak on marijuana, weed, any of that, just for a multitude of reasons.
It's probably a whole bunch of legal reasons. I don't have a thing, but I don't want to have to use my button over here and just start hitting a whole bunch of deletes and stuff
exactly.
like that. I'm going to be over here. We can't talk about and I don't want to keep hitting my button. So, so let's try to stick to the topic. The topic is really the ones that we throw out there. But, you know, I cleaned up your question. It was pretty good. Anybody else have a question? You have
I
one?
I think it's more so of, I want to get an idea of, like, what your experience is. Like, in schools, with your friends, what you're seeing, like,
all right,
y'all are in the field.
Introduce yourself.
Field.
Yeah, introduce yourself and tell me if you have a story.
Hi, my name is Caleb. I'm 14. I just wanted to ask, like, for vaping, since it's, like, vape was, before everything, was used as, like, a tool to quit smoking, as I've heard. How did it get to the point where now it's used to end up promoting smoking to younger audiences?
Because it was advertised as that, but that's like a myth that's going around. People are always assuming that it's a tool to help you quit when essentially it's the same thing, if not worse. Like I said, a lot of these products, these vapes, are not FDA approved at all, so you don't know what's in them.
The FDA is the ones that approve everything, your meats, your everything, that anything that is consumed into your body, even medicines, you know, like creams, anything like that. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that kind of, you know, make sure that it's okay, that it affects you. It doesn't affect you in a certain way. And that, any other questions? Good question.
I have a story.
You have a story?
I was in class and.
Make sure you're talking to the mic.
I was in class, I think gym or something. And like one of my friends were like, why aren't you vaping yet? It's good for you. And all this. And I'm like, oh, it's bad for you. And it's going to hurt you in the future. And they didn't care. And they kept on insisting on it. And I just had to walk away from the situation.
Okay. Is it something that is common in your school or something that person keeps bringing up?
It's common. It's kind of common in my school, but it's kind of not. It's like.
The adults don't know about it. That's what you're
trying to say. The people are sneaking around it with it. And it's like, I'm not going to say anything because it'd be a whole school because most of the kids do it. But it's going to be like encouraging.
I mean, you don't want to be the tattletale, but guess what happens? You have any siblings, younger siblings?
No.
Okay, so I'm the youngest. You're the youngest.
But I'm not trying to encourage it, but I'm just staying away from this.
I know, but if an adult doesn't know, if you don't tell me that something is happening, especially when they're in the bathrooms or something like that, then what happens is that I can't help you and I can't help the next person. So, you know, I try to be very open with my kids, and I'd rather you tell me and I deal with the problem than me find out that something else happened later. Because dealing with a problem is dealing with it. Regardless of what it is. Oh, you broke this. Or let's go over there. Tell the person I'm sorry how much we have to pay. Now, someone looking for you to kill you because you broke that, that's something different. You know, because we didn't deal with the problem. You didn't tell me. So now I have somebody knocking on my door, you know, upset, instead of me approaching them, you know, in a certain manner. So you have to deal with it. You're going to have to tell a teacher, you know, hey, ma'am, you know, I was in the bathroom and this is happening and this is not the first time. Who did it? I was there period four. I didn't know the person, whatever, whatever. And let them figure a way. Let them look at the cameras. Let them figure that out how to approach it. Because they don't have cameras in the bathroom, but they'll have cameras going into the bathroom. So they'll figure it out. But you have to tell somebody. I mean, if it's not, you know, it might be somebody else, a sibling or a friend of yours that gets caught in that trap. So you got to be careful with that. Do we have any open questions here?
I think that was very brave of you.
Yeah, I mean.
And thank you.
Thank you again. Mm-hmm. Anytime that you can share.
Everybody, give
them
a hand up.
Anytime you can share.
That was very brave. Thank you so much.
All right, so my question is, like, throughout the years, how do you think, like, smoking products, how do you think they've gotten, like, easier to get to, like, not like how, but when did they start getting easier to get access to, like, how?
Mm-hmm. I would say a lot of the smoke shops that you see today, some people don't even have permits to be selling, period. So they're selling these products. They're not, you know, identifying people's age. And it's hard when, you know, someone of age can purchase and you're close to them. Of course, that's easy access as well. So that's how a lot of these things are occurring.
Yeah, I also think that once you guys are, you know, maybe teenagers and you're walking on your own, walking to school, there's not a parent next to you. Mm-hmm. I think that makes a big deal because you're with your boys, you're with your girls, and you're looking at I'm going in here to pick something up. And you're looking outside like, oh, where am I outside? And then you get in there and you see it visually and you see how much it costs. You see the easy transaction. And then you're like, oh, you know what? I could do this or something like that. So they get you in so many ways that you don't even realize it. But once you start, basically, you could cross the street by yourself, it's a problem. It's a problem because they figure that. And they put in these stores in the middle of the blocks now. They don't even care. Before, it had to be like on the avenue where people are passing by. You find this in the middle of a block. So the same way they put bodegas in every corner, they're putting them in the middle of the block now. Mm-hmm. So you can find them anywhere. And that's throughout the city. I mean, there's no place. Staten Island has it. Bronx has it. Queens has it. It's all over the place. I mean, it's just, you know, more advertised, you know, if it's next to a train, next to a school, next to where they know a lot of people are going to pass by, a sneaker store, they'll fit a store in there, and it could be 6x8, but they're selling an item that's what, an inch, you know, mm-hmm. it takes an inch,
small.
They could put it on one wall and sell this item. So they'd rather pay $200 less rent and do it like that. So you got to be aware of all those things. I appreciate your questions. Thank you very much. Thank you for our panel. Unless you have anything else you wanna chat into, we could always do another podcast. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, definitely.
I had fun. I hope I made you at ease.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to get you all nervous or nothing like that. We'll be posting this podcast. This is basically, you know, Kips Bay Boys and Girls Club. We have the people from NYCHA here. We also have NYC Smoke Free. This is not the first time we're gonna do it. We might have a part two. We might have part three. We're gonna try to get some video in, but we have to call the governor, you know, and make sure everything is clear. And, you know, I have the mayor's number, but I'm going to have to, you know, I'm going to have to go through the secretary or something. We got to clear out some things before we can put video up. But the audio is what we need. We need you to listen. Okay. That's what we need. This is all about listening and about participating in a little panel like this. Education is what wins here. That's what I say. If you don't know, then now you know a little more about it. And hopefully it'll help you or help somebody else. Sometimes it may not help you because you're not in that particular predicament, but it might help somebody else that you know. So, all right, guys, are we ready?
Yep.
We good? All right, let's say our goodbyes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day.
Check, 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 1, 2, 1, 2, check, 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 check.
Season number 8, still picking it up.